This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Well, hi everyone, I'm with John Dixon again tonight. We're talking about Jesus. We've looked at the need to look carefully at evidence for Jesus' life and not try to just fit him into some preconceived idea you might have about him. And last time, John, we chatted about what Jesus did in Galilee from his childhood to his 30s, where he launched into his public ministry. Now, there's great speculation, including claims that Jesus went far afield to lands in the east and this sort of thing. We've talked about that sort of thing. But when Jesus finally did go public, and his world-changing message wasn't in a cosmopolitan city. It was in this sort of out-of-the-way place by the Jordan River with another admittedly bizarre sort of prophet-like character.
Yeah, John the Baptist. John the Baptist predates Jesus' ministry. So when Jesus goes public, John is already an incredibly famous first-century Jew. We know this not just from the Bible, but from Josephus, the first-century Jewish writer, confirms that thousands would flock to him to hear his sermons and to be baptized by him in the Jordan. And Josephus says he had such power that Herod was nervous that the masses would do anything John said. And Josephus says that Herod got rid of him as a result. But so the Gospels pick up in real history and describe John the Baptist already having a ministry of baptizing people out by the Jordan River. But what's really interesting is that baptism was already a Jewish ritual, but John changed it. So in Judaism, in this period, probably for about a century and a half before Jesus, there were ritual bathings, washings, where you'd have to go into these purpose-built baths called mikvot and wash yourself. And this was a symbol of you being cleansed, but you did it every day. In fact, out at Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls come from, this little Jewish monastic community had plenty of these ritual baths. And we know from other texts that they had to wash themselves several times a day to remind themselves of being pure and finding forgiveness. And John comes along.
What's his take on this?
Well, he comes along and he says, yeah, there is a ritual washing, you know what? But it's once, not every day. You come out to the Jordan River and have one ritual bathing and you are cleansed. It was quite an innovation, partly because it's a one-off ritual bathing, not this everyday thing, but partly because it was in the Jordan River. Now, the Jordan River for the Jews was where Israel had begun. It's the river they crossed in order to enter the Promised Land centuries earlier. So John calling people back out to the Jordan River for one ritual cleansing was a way of saying, we've got to begin again. Israel has to begin again.
Yeah, it's a big marker, isn't it, then? It's suggesting there's a new era coming.
Definitely.
Is that something about what he was preaching?
It probably was. So he preached that there was a judgment of God coming. So Luke 3 says, the axe is already at the root of the tree. Judgment is already here, So come out, start again, or judgment will come. Anyway, the thing is that Jesus comes out to the Jordan River, and Jesus publicly submits himself to John's defining ritual of dipping, of baptism.
I want to ask you about that because in many ways, John the Baptist was preparing the way. He was like a precursor to Jesus. But are you suggesting that Jesus was in some way John's disciple?
Well, a lot of scholars think so. In fact, it's probably fair to say that most historical Jesus scholars think Jesus was a disciple of John the Baptist. That may be going too far, but one thing is very clear. John's ministry predates Jesus. John was famous long before Jesus was. And Jesus so identified with John's message that he wanted to publicly identify with it by entering the Jordan himself and sort of aligning himself with John the Baptist. So it may be too much to say Jesus was his disciple, but he certainly saw himself fitting with the message that that John had. There were differences, of course, between Jesus and John, because John mainly preached the judgment of God, right? Jesus also preached the judgment of God, but he so much more emphasized the mercy of God towards sinners. So he sort of emphasized the period of amnesty God was offering Israel rather than the emergency.
And the shape of Jesus' ministry was this sort of renewal and forgiveness. It was really marked so much of what he was about.
It did, yeah. So he went round wining and dining with sinners and handing out forgiveness. This was as powerful a symbol as going out to the Jordan for a ritual baptism, because actually Jesus would be in the towns and villages and sinners would come and he would sit down at a meal table and eat with them, which was religiously against the law. So what John's big baptism ritual symbolised, Jesus symbolised everywhere he went, eating with sinners. So instead of going away from the people out at the Jordan like the Baptist did, Jesus went to the people with this message of love and forgiveness and renewal.
Now, there's a crucial episode that's reported in the Gospels about Jesus' journey into the wilderness.
Immediately after his baptism.
Right, yeah. So at the beginning of this public career. Can you talk about what was so significant about that incident?
Sure. Well, having been out to the Judean wilderness where this took place, it's you can imagine it being a very bizarre experience. Jesus, before he went public, but immediately after his baptism, he goes out to this incredibly desolate place and spends 40 days, 40 nights there. And during this time, he has, I don't really know how you'd describe it, a vision or some kind of encounter with the dark side, where his temptations, and they're recorded in Luke 4 for anyone to have a read of, the temptations were the devil trying to tempt him to ruin his ministry from the very beginning. And a number of the temptations, or at least two of them, were to do with power. So the devil takes him to the top, whether it's in a vision or in reality, hard to tell, to the top of the temple and shows him all the kingdoms of the earth, right? And says, these can all be yours if you worship me. Well, the thing is, that's exactly what everyone thought the Messiah would do, rule all the nations of the world. But the devil says, you can have this if you worship me. And Jesus totally rejects it, right? And says, no, it's only about worship of God. So in this crucial moment, Jesus is working out whether his mission as Messiah is going to be to conquer the nations, which every Jew thought the Messiah should do, or is he going to take a different path? And the thing is, in that moment, he conquers Satan out in the desert by deciding not to go down the path of conquering the nations, but instead coming and serving God and serving the people with his message of love.
Okay, well, that's there's a fascinating discussion, John. Let's pick it up again tomorrow, and we look forward to everyone's company then.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.